You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey guys, welcome back to Reality TV. I hope you are doing wonderful. I hope you had a long holiday weekend and you're enjoying it. It's hard to believe it's September already. It's kind of blowing my mind, but here we are going into autumn, into the fall. And speaking of fall, Amanda and I took a little tumble in our episode of We Love to Hate Everything last week, which is free, by the way. I'll put a link in the show notes. We are doing weekly episodes over there talking about everything. I think we're going to talk about our favorite SNL skits of all time, of all genres and years and decades this week. But last week, we live streamed and we were posting it on Facebook. It's still in the Facebook group. I'll, again, put a link there so you can watch it. But if you want to listen to it, it's a bit of a mess because we ended up doing the one chip challenge, which was really frightening. My children make a debut really as the first responders. A lot of milk was drank, whatever. I mean, it was just a disaster. But if you want a good laugh at our expense, go ahead and listen to that. But please make sure you subscribe because we're talking about everything over there. I'm sure we're going to be talking about Teen Mom and Young and Pregnant. I don't know if we're doing it there on Patreon. We're going to be talking about Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, which, oh my God, I can't wait for that to start. And I have a whole bunch of other stuff I want to talk about here today. So I guess let's just get right into it. Oh gosh, I have a bit of a sore forearm. I mean, this just tells you how old I'm getting. I'm reaching for my mouse and it hurts. God, this is so embarrassing, but you know, I'm just letting everything out. I'm bearing all, if you will, 90 Day Fiance pun. Whatever happened to that show, by the way? Anyway, I decided that I was going to pick up this hobby of those adult coloring books instead of playing Candy Crush or going through TikTok on my phone while I'm watching TV because I have, I don't know if it's like ADD or I just have to be multitasking at all times. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to do something for my brain here. I have some crossword puzzles, but I'm going to try these adult coloring books. And my forearm has been sore for, oh yeah, exactly a week because I started it last weekend. Just coloring makes me sore. It's real, real sad. I don't know if I need those little hand clencher things. I feel like my grandma's always had those. Anyhow, where are we here? Okay. Oh, speaking of getting older, I urge you to never forget Ilaria Hillary Baldwin, how you say cucumber. She is such a disaster. And I am actually livid that we so quickly forgotten about her farce of being Spanish. She's still doing this, I speak Spanish, I'm bilingual, and she's not even bilingual. She had a post on her Instagram recently of her teaching one of her spawn how to walk, and she very clearly makes this little up motion with her fingers. She's trying to say arriba, right? That means up, but she says like afuero or afuera or something, which I believe does not mean up. It means like out or outside or whatever. She gets the entire word wrong. And most of us, if we were pretending to be something else, might be like, oh, take two and push the kid down and make him try to walk again, right? But she's so far up her own, how you say, ass, she kept it up there. But you can see that she has this nanny recording for her because at one point a nanny's hand comes over and knocks a kid over. Like, move so we can get your mommy trying to speak Spanish. I don't know what I'm trying to say, but no, I do. I am trying to say, never forget that Ilaria Baldwin, Hillary Hill, if you will, is such a piece of shit and she's the worst. We all know you're not here to get my advice on the perfect plant-based diet or how to ace keto. I am no expert on macros or physiology, but I do know when something tastes good. So when Ritual, the multivitamin company that I know and I trust, came out with their essential protein, I jumped at ordering it to try it out. Now, protein powders at the grocery store have always been really intimidating to me. I never know what numbers I need, and I don't want it to bulk me up when I'm just trying to be healthy. That's why Ritual's Essential Protein is perfect for someone like me. I just want a delicious taste for someone my age that doesn't have a lot of extra and weird chemicals. And of course, it's got to be affordable. So let's break this down. Ritual offers three premium formulations for distinct life stages and unique nutrient needs. So there's a daily shake for 18 plus, a daily shake for 50 plus, and one for pregnancy and postpartum. So of course, I sent my mom a package because you know how she loves her daily water aerobics lately, and she likes mixing it in with her smoothies and her juices that she makes. I still love to mix it in with my iced coffee, kind of makes it a little healthy latte hack. But imagine if you were pregnant or nursing. In one daily shake, you get all the protein and essentials you need that are scientifically formulated for pregnancy and nursing. But no matter what your age or activity level, you will always know what you are putting in your body. And that's actually one of the things that stuck out to me right away about Ritual. And this goes back to one of the first times I ever talked to them. From the jump, Ritual has always been 100% transparent with their sourcing and using quality ingredients without fillers. They have high standards for their products and their people, which I really appreciate as a customer. So why not shake up your Ritual? To make trying something new less scary, Ritual offers a money-back guarantee if you're not 100% in love. Plus, my listeners get 10% off during your first 3 months. There's a link in the show notes, but just visit ritual.com/realityTV to add essential protein today. That's ritual.com/realityTV. Go and follow Dumois on Instagram. You might be looking at their post and be like, okay, I don't really get what the hype is. Make sure you're looking at their stories. There will be sometimes dozens in a day, so you'll be clicking through there for a while, but it's got all these celeb spottings, anonymous tips, which I know you're like, okay, anonymous, really? That could be just bullshit. But a lot of them are not. There are some really good blind items that people bring up, but I guess they're not really blind because they're telling you who they are. But for example, like Hillary, she was just spotted running past Goop's house, Gwyneth Paltrow's house, because of course she is, because those two thirst traps, it never gets old for me. And it never gets old for me that Hillary and Alex kids, okay, you know I love children, okay? I was a teacher, I love my own kids. Kids crack me up, some of them more than others, but their kids are, like, I can definitely tell they pick their nose and shit. They're just like those little snotty nose picker looking kids, and they're total assholes. And it's not in a cute, funny way. Like, I think the oldest one was, she said something to her dad like, okay, baldy. But it was not in a cute, snarky, ha-ha kind of way, which leads me to believe it's not so happy in the Ilaria-Baldwin. Guys, what was her maiden name? Do we know this? What was Hillary's maiden name? Was it like Hillary Mallorca or something Spanish? Or was it like Hillary Smith and she was still trying to sell the Spanish thing? Something for me to research later. This is why I keep a pad of paper and a pencil next to me at all times. All right, so moving forward from this, because I definitely want to get to some 90 Day Fiancé and Love After Lockup today. Real Housewives of New York. I am devastated, just as devastated as when Ilaria couldn't remember the word for cucumber. I'm devastated that there's no reunion. I understand why, kind of. There's lots of different theories, but a lot of it is because of Ebony. And I think it's bullshit because I love Ebony. Leah redeemed herself a little bit towards the end of the season, but I need, it is a soul deep into the depths of my being, I need Ramona to be called on her shit. Yeah, we all knew Ramona was problematic and racist, but did we ever think we would see it so blatantly? And we've seen it before, you know, The Help, and she's always just an entitled, elitist piece of crap to everyone. But it was so out in the open and right there. Like, I'm not even going to say Andy, because I have problems with Andy Cohen. I mean, speaking of misogynistic and demeaning, condescending sort of person, I need whoever's above Andy. You know what? Fuck it. I need Ebony to have a one-on-one with Ramona, almost like Andy had with Kim Richards. That's what I want to see happen. Or let's get every person of color on Bravo to sit down with Ramona and call her on her shit, and she can't get up. I don't care what it is, but she needs to be called on her shit. Just this, oh, we're not going to have a reunion. I don't care if they're doing it because of COVID. They've done COVID reunions and all that kind of stuff before. So whatever it is, I'm pissed. She needs to be called on it. And as much as I love to hate watching her, I cannot have her on another season if we're not going to see her answer for all the horrible things and the horrible person that she is. Okay, moving forward. Real Housewives of Potomac. Why are we being subjected to another season of Candy Ass? I cannot stand Candace. And it's not in a way where I can hate watch Luann or Ramona. I just can't stand Candace. She is not that witty, not that clever, not that talented. She is what is making Potomac almost unwatchable for me. And I love Potomac. The new chick, what's her name? Mia. I think she's going to be a one season. She's like a Cindy Barshop to me, you know, or like a Quinn. She's a beige. She's just there. Now, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Let us just take a moment here and soak in the magic of this season. We have never had, nor do I think we ever will have again, a season that is so packed with petty shit like the Your Ugly Leather Pants and heavy, huge fraud, blatant selfishness and narcissism and evil like Tom and Erica. We will never have this again. You know, we thought the original Dinner Party from Hell was magic, but this is a whole other level, and I cannot get enough of it. Erica is the devil. When she gets that look where she's like, and what are you gonna do about it? That is pure fucking evil. And that is exactly what she's saying to her attorneys or to anyone who's interviewing her about where the frickin' money is. And I'm gonna be saying the same thing as everyone else. Like, obviously, she knows now that it was stolen money, so time to give it back. And there's nothing else that needs to be said. I mean, she's guilty in some way, shape, or form. But I also want to take a moment and talk about Crystal, because I think she is getting such a generous edit. I said this, I think, from the first week or two. I said this a couple months ago. I think Crystal is a horrible person. I think she is a Camille Grammer. Now, if you remember, Camille Grammer had a really bad first season. She came across as this pretentious bitch. And then it was like, oh, I'm a nice girl. And she got divorced and boohoo and the, you know, big doe eyes. And okay, her house burned down. That's sad, but she can rebuild. All right, whatever. She's fine. But Crystal is kind of getting the reverse, where she's getting a very nice edit this season. Like, she's the nice girl. Oh, poor her. Someone said her pants are ugly. But she's a mean girl. She is snotty. She's pretentious. She's condescending. And you saw it right there in that dinner scene when she's like, Sutton, yeah, I never heard of her. Never. Well, who the hell heard of you until you were on this show? And you're only on this show because you're married to the Lion King guy. And who really, truly knew about the Lion King guy? Like, I feel like I've heard that last name, Minkoff, before. But if someone said Rob Minkoff, I wouldn't immediately think like, oh, my God, the Lion King guy. I'd be like, I don't know, someone famous? Let me Google it, right? So who the fuck do you think you are, Crystal? And same with Erica. Who are you? No one knew who you were until your husband stole money to play pretend that you had a career. Crystal, I'm calling it now. She's going to go down in the next season or two. You're going to see the mean girl shit that she really is capable of. Okay, now I guess we should dive into some 90 Day Fiancé. Oh, wait, hold on. Just kidding. One more thing. If you are not watching The Prophet, I don't know if we can be friends. If you don't even know what the TV show The Prophet is, where have you been and what are you doing? This is a tune-in show that I promise you're going to love it. It is hosted by a guy named Marcus Lemonis. He's this guy who's got like a total badonk. He's got womanly hips and a big butt, but he owns it and all he wears is crazy designer shit now, which sometimes is very questionable. Like he was wearing these jeggings the other week with high tops. And I was like, ooh, Marcus, I love that you're married to an older woman and you're unashamed of it. And you guys are just living your best life. But come on, man, just go with a straight cut, Gene. That's all I'm asking. But anyhow, he goes to these struggling businesses and he decides if he's going to invest in them or not. But it's not in a Shark Tank way. Like he can be super helpful. He'll give people percentages of the company. And sometimes I cry because I'm like, oh my God, he realizes that the assistant to the regional manager is giving back and he's giving them percentages of the company. And then other times he'll just like drop out the last 5 minutes of the episode. He won't invest. And you're like, what? Oh my God. I feel like if you are listening to this and you don't watch the show, I sound like a guy who watches football or is talking about his fantasy football league lineup. And you're like, what the fuck? I don't really care. But because then if you know, you know, tune in The Prophet, and it's spelled P-R-O-F-I-T. Get it? And then go follow him on Instagram and you'll see the badonk that I'm talking about and how it's so cute, how he's married to his wife and they just got married a couple years ago. They were together forever and you would never put the two of them together. And I'm just going to say it, maybe this makes me an asshole, but it makes me respect him more that he's married to like an older woman and she's not all overinflated and she's, you know, she just looks like a woman in her 60s. It's a beautiful love story. All right. Now, speaking of beautiful love stories, 90 Day Fiancé, you guys. I don't know whether I love this season or not. For the most part, I'm not too impressed, but there are two standout couples, and I'm going to save Da Belza Da Ball for last because it's going to get me through these first couples that I don't really care about. First of them being Evelyn and Corey. I couldn't care less. I'm not watching their segments. I don't like looking at their faces. Corey is an idiot. Like his IQ must be lower than average because he's still in wherever the hell they are, Ecuador. And Evelyn, I feel very anti-feminist in saying this, but I enjoy that she doesn't look as pretty as she used to. There, I said it. Her face is starting to catch up with her personality, and I'm happy for that. I'm enjoying that. Otherwise, I don't care. I will not be watching their segments. I'm actually shocked that they included them on this season because I don't think anyone was like dying for some Evelyn on their TV. No one gives a shit. Now, Jenny and Sumit, their storyline is still where it was years ago when we met them. But there is something about their personalities, and maybe it's the age difference. Maybe it's just that Jenny is so blind to the fact that Sumit clearly does not and will not marry her that you can't stop watching. Jenny has had to leave, what, at least three times before, and now she's been able to really luck out. She's like the only lucky person in this whole COVID scenario in the past year because she's been able to extend her visa to stay with Sumit in India. Now, we know Sumit has the good end of the deal here because it doesn't look like he's working. They're living off of their paycheck from the show and Jenny's savings. So he's got no rush to do anything. He's got the perfect scenario here because, you know, he's calling his mommy and daddy saying Jenny's mean and he's just waiting for her to go back and then he's going to come home because Sumit is a narcissistic, pathological liar who cannot keep any of his story straight. And Jenny, I don't know if she's like a glutton for punishment or she just feels like a lot of women on the show, actually. They are in so far, I think they think they've invested so much time and energy that they might as well just get together or stay married. You know, Jenny is like, well, I've wasted 8 years of my life to get married, so now I'm going to stay just to make sure he marries me, even though I don't think she's really truly that happy either. And I think Natalie of Mike and Natalie from Seattle, I think she was the same way, where she was like, I'm here, I want to have a baby, I've already wasted this much time, if I start over, I'll probably be too old to have a baby at that point. So that's why she was sticking it through with him. But they're a whole other story. Thank God they're not on the season, right? Although that wouldn't make sense because this is the other way. Anyhow, here we are with Jenny, you know, screaming and ranting and raving and pushing up her glasses and wearing lots of weird makeup with a matte finish, which I will never understand. Screaming and yelling about his parents, that his parents can't make them not get married. But then Sumit offers up the worst kind of arguments that Jenny should be able to smack down right away and come back with a comeback very quickly. And she never takes the opportunity. Like when he followed Jenny in the room, he says, "The pandemic wasn't made by me or my parents." Why isn't she jumping on that? Why isn't she like, why do you keep bringing up your parents? If you are against your parents and you don't care about what your parents think, then why are you bringing them up all the time? It's like he likes throwing that around as his sword that he must fall on. But also he likes to hold his parents in that relationship, I think, is really a power play between he and Jenny. So he thinks Jenny is overreacting, you know, because it's not his fault that the pandemic's going on, and it's not his fault that Nepal's borders are closed. And then she asks him straight out, "Did you ever intend to marry me?" And he never answers. Why is she not calling him on that? I would demand an answer. Like, you are not getting up from that couch until you answer my question. Did you ever intend to marry me? But instead, she just keeps going on and on, saying she's frustrated. I mean, I wanted to smack her upside the head right there, because frustrated is not a word. Are you frustrated? Are you flustered? Frustrated, not a word. But then there was some sort of glitch in the matrix. She's able to stay longer because of the pandemic, but they're going to go see an attorney to see what their immigration choices are. The immigration attorney says, really, the only options are she give up her U.S. citizenship, which thank God she said no, or there's this thing called ISKCON, where she would have to become a missionary, a Hare Krishna devotee. But, I mean, you really don't have to ask anyone to join the religion. That she's even considering this seems insane to me, because if anyone said you have to change religions to be with me or stay in the country, when all he's got to do is go, okay, I've said this from the beginning, all he's got to do is go and get married to her and just not freaking tell anyone. Like, they could be married right now and no one needs to know. Like, if he doesn't bring it up to his parents and he doesn't bring it up to the TV show, couldn't they be legally married? And then they could just make up a whole storyline. Like, oh, I was able to get an extension because I couldn't get the vaccine here, and therefore I can't go back to the United States. I don't know. He's very good at lying. He can think of something. But again, it all comes down to he really doesn't want to marry her. And also, I think it's pretty shitty if she's going to kind of fake this religion to stay in the country, that she's going to take time and energy away from people who are truly devoted to this and make them believe that she also believes the same thing. And I know a lot of people do that to get married, now that I think of it. Like, you would get baptized or join another church or something like that. But this just seems like a whole other level. I don't think they're just going to let her off the hook and be like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah, we trust Jenny to go out and spread the good word. No. All right. Speaking of other people we don't trust, Ariella. I cannot stand this girl. And it pains me because I still really liked her mom. I blame her mom for raising an adult baby. Absolutely. She's babied Ariella. They spoiled her rotten into being a rotten adult. But I really enjoy her mom. And I got to think, if her dad is a doctor, he's a pretty good guy, right? Above all else, do no harm or something like that, the smart doctors say or take an oath to. But Ariella is a horrible person. First of all, what the hell is she wearing? I'm not talking about the traditional dress that she was wearing, which I actually thought was really pretty and really cute. I'm talking about the cheetah print mini dress in this bright red bodycon mini dress she's wearing in their little opening frame. And then the combat heels. What look is this? What season is it? What climate is it? What decade? But most shocking of all, never before have we seen Ariella's six giant teeth all at the same time before. She has never smiled as much as she has in these episodes. Something's with those giant teeth. I don't know if she got them all knocked out. They needed to fill her mouth when she was little, and they were like, let's take these six big ones and she'll grow into them. Never before have I seen teeth as thick as a thumb. It's bizarre. But here Leandro arrives, and Binyam is all a mess because somehow Ariella has convinced Binyam she is a real prize, that men are just jumping at every opportunity to be with her. I know I cannot be alone in dreading meal planning for my family. Someone's always unhappy. A tried and true favorite has been made one too many times, and shoot, you're out of noodles or chicken or who the hell knows fresh radishes for that last minute recipe, right? Well, HelloFresh. As an actual HelloFresh customer, I can tell you it has been one of the best things to come out of this last crazy year of ours. There are so many reasons I love and order HelloFresh every week, but at the top of my list, and take this to heart, coming from a super frugal gal, it is affordable and it'll actually save you money. You can order up to four meals a week, but for my family of four, ordering just two meals a week has been a wallet and a lifesaver. I don't even have to think about two weekday meals, phew, because I know they're going to arrive at my doorstep every Monday, which is my chosen day of the week, and they are actually going to be meals that we picked ourselves, that we know we're going to love. I downloaded the HelloFresh app, but you can go online if you rather, and you can choose from a huge selection of meals. I always choose one of the Carb Smart options because of Dave's limited diet, and then I let my kids choose another meal. Paige always loves the pork options like pork tenderloin, or for example, tonight we're making and trying a new one. It's pork meatloaf parm. But maybe you're a burger fan, so you choose the mozzarella stuffed caprese burgers, which I made last night, and they are so good. They came with fries. Oh, delicious. But let me look at my app right here. For example, next week, some of the offerings are Southwest stuffed zucchini boats, Middle Eastern chickpea bowls, or one pan quesadillas. I mean, these are just three or four of the 20-some options for you to choose from. And we haven't had one meal that we haven't loved. Plus, as someone who loves big portions, I appreciate that HelloFresh doesn't skimp when it comes to loading up on their servings, especially when you order a recipe with shrimp. It is outrageous that they don't charge extra. Don't get any ideas, HelloFresh. I'm saying that I love the shrimp. Give me more. And speaking of seafood and freshness, I have never had one even average experience with HelloFresh. Everything comes and it's super fresh, farm to table within a week. Even my ingredients that get delivered on a Monday, I have made them well into the weekend and sometimes even the next week. Nothing goes to waste. And really, that includes the packaging, which is almost entirely recyclable. So go to HelloFresh.com/RealityTV14 and use code RealityTV14 for up to 14 free meals plus free shipping. I'm going to give you an easy link in the show notes. One more time, that's HelloFresh.com/RealityTV14 and use that same code RealityTV14 for up to 14 free meals with free shipping. Thank you, HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit. They go to this nail salon. I have so much to say about this. You go get your nails done and your husband or your boyfriend is just sitting there watching you get them done. Like, can't you get a couple minutes away from each other? Why do you need to have him there? The fact that she goes to a nail salon at all because two of her nails broke off and she's got to get her two nails fixed. What are we doing here? Are her parents just providing for everything? We know that they're helping her with the house that they live in, which I am certain for that area is considered upper class. Like, I'm thinking where my sister lived in Costa Rica, and a two-story house like that would have been like you are living in luxury in those circumstances. So the fact that she's got a two-story, three-bedroom house, a live-in nanny, and she's going to get her nails painted, and just because two of them broke, she's going to go get them all redone. How much are they sending her every month? If the nanny is $200 a month, I'm sure that place that they're paying for is $300 a month, $400 a month. Would it be more or less than a live-in nanny? So maybe her parents are just like, you know what, we'll send you $600 a month and you're going to be living the big life. But wouldn't you feel like shit being like, oh, mom, I'm going to get my nails done with the money that you're sending? Even if her parents are well off because they're a nurse and a doctor, that just seems so outrageous to me. So anyway, oh yeah, she gets her nails done yellow. If you notice, the nails that were yellow were her ring finger and her middle finger. Well, I was just watching a 9/11 documentary. Hear me out. If you put the yellow fingers down, what do you have left? The pink fingers, which are the pinky, the pointer, and the thumb. Look at your hands right now doing it. What symbol is that? It's the sign language for I love you. Now, in the 9/11 documentary, the one guy said that he put his hands like that on his chest just in case he died so that his family would know that he was saying, like, I love you to them. But anyhow, I wonder if Ariella and Mr. PhD Leandro have that little I love you thing. Like, they would do that with their fingers, like sign language, maybe because they had two different languages. And it is a symbol that she is sending to Leandro, like, I still love you. Because that seems very weird to me that you're just going to choose those two fingers that are different colors. I know that some people do like their ring finger a different color, or each finger is a different one, or you put like a airbrushed flower or something on your thumb or your pinky. I don't know what people do because I don't get my nails done. But I just found that very odd. And I truly, this isn't like a joke, I truly think that it is a signal, a symbol, a message that she was trying to get to Leandro that she didn't think that we were going to notice. And I don't think she really broke those two fingers. She did it on purpose so she could go and get the yellow put on those two. Told you. All right, so let's get to the part where Leandro comes on over and then Ariella makes Bingham hug Leandro. She goes, go on, hug. No, they don't need a hug. Why would they need a hug? They don't know each other. A handshake, but a hug? Now, at first, I was like, okay, Leandro, what do we have going on here? Because he seemed very confident. I'm not getting the vibe that he's into Ariella again. But then Ariella made a power move, and it was very subtle. But they got in the van, and she turns to him in the back, and just very quickly, she's like, oh my God, you look like a dork with your mask on. Okay, first of all, says the woman in braids in a cocktail dress in her Payless Doc Martens on a random Tuesday in the streets of Ethiopia. She's the one judging Leandro, saying he looks like a dork with his mask on. First of all, he didn't. He looked perfectly handsome. He looked fine. But also, that is a power move. She's up here, he's down here, and she's trying to be flirty, but in a really bad third grade way where really you're just being mean. But here we are in her house. He introduces himself to the nanny, whose name is Mimi. And then again, in the background, you got to listen for these really drony sentences that Ariella says. She goes, this is Mimi, Avi's nanny and my best friend. Okay, she might be your best friend, but I highly doubt you are her best friend. You pay her. She is only here because you are paying her to live here. She's kind, but she's not like, you know what, I'm going to stay the weekend because you're my bestie. No, you're paying her. You know, maybe Ariella's parents were like Mora's parents on Ben 15, and they were just paying her friends off to be there. You know what I mean? Go watch Pen 15 if you have no idea what I'm talking about, but I think I'm onto something here. All right. Now, Leandro picks up little Avi and starts holding him, and you can clearly tell he's like, yay, I get to hold your baby. So glad to meet him. No, no one wants to hold your baby, you guys. He's just acting like he likes him, especially after little Avi ripped off his glasses and started playing fetch with him with Binyam. Now, then they go into the worst part of the episode. And if I didn't hate Ariella before, this really did it for me. They sit down in the room and Ariella's like, Leandro's only been here an hour and I can already tell there's some passive-aggressive tension under the surface. Well, yeah, because you're not doing anything to break the tension. You're not doing anything to just be like, yeah, I know this is kind of weird, but Binyam, obviously you can see it. We're just friends. Leandro has a girlfriend. She doesn't say that. Leandro then later says, I have a girlfriend. Don't worry about it. But Leandro opens up his suitcase and says he brought some gifts for them. I totally get this. I'm sure any of you who have family in a different country, a lot of times it's a lot cheaper to get stuff here. So whenever you go visit whoever in whatever country, you bring a bunch of stuff. So I wasn't looking into the whole gift thing that much because I assumed a lot of this was probably from her parents. Like, hey, you're going down there. Bring this with you. I didn't think it was that big of a deal. I truly didn't. I think she probably said, I need some nursing bras or some bras that don't look like my grandma wore them and passed them down to me. So I really didn't think it was that big of a deal, especially if they've been married 10 years. He's seen and smelled and whatever, everything with her. So I don't think he really gave a shit. And that's when he was like, I have a girlfriend. She's the one who picked him out. But Binyam doesn't hear that because he's still under the spell. Ariella has put him under, thinking that she's really a hot piece of ass that everyone wants. Now, then he proceeds to take out some other gifts and he hands Binyam some speakers. And Ariella is just sitting there, reclined, sitting all the way back on the couch. And I think her body language and her lack of language here says a lot. If someone brought you gifts, would you just be sitting back and being like, okay, give it to me. Go ahead, unpack. No, you'd be like leaning forward, sitting on the floor next to them, like, oh my gosh, thank you so much. If you noticed, Ariella did not say thank you one time. She never said thank you. After Binyam got the speakers, she smacked him and she's like, say thank you. And then he's like, oh, thank you, thank you. Actually, no, hold on a second. He said thank you first. And then she looked over at him like, yeah, he said thank you, right? Well, what about you, you little brat? So then they're sitting there super awkward because Ariella should be the one facilitating this entire conversation, but she doesn't. She sits there because she loves it. She loves to think that it's this love triangle when it's clearly not. I don't think Leandro has any desire to be with her whatsoever. But Binyam asks why they broke up. And then we learn that not too long ago, mind you, because little Avi is only a couple months old. And remember, she got pregnant pretty much immediately after they met. So if you think about this timeline, we're talking the past year and a half, this has all gone down. Well, turns out they never really broke up. He was going to Indiana for his PhD program, and she was like, well, I just want to travel instead. So she took off to travel and just never met back up with him, just never went home. And Leandro describes this as a decaying experience as he takes his hand in a lower line graph motion, which leads me to believe he was unhappy for a very long time and he was totally fine that she did not follow him. But then she says, I didn't really want to tell you what was going on because I wanted to have the option that Binyam, if it didn't work out with you, and I was just like, I'm going to leave you, I would go back to him. But she's crying because she felt bad that she put Leandro in that situation as Binyam sitting right there. Like, you should be crying for him too. Not that I think Binyam is like this go-getter and this awesome person, but she should be crying to both of them that she's a shitty person. And maybe have had this conversation before you're in person and your ex-husband sleeping in the room next to you guys. This whole situation is a mess. Now, after Leandro leaves, I think whatever happens with Ariella, that's just karma. That's just karma coming back around because not that great of a person. Now, Steven and Alina. First of all, Steven, we've seen that he's a little, not even quirky. I mean, he's just weird. He's a weird guy. Physically, he's what my friends and I in high school would call a squiggle. He's got kind of a lanky, I don't even know if he's tall, but he's just like a lankier, slight man. He's very slight. His hands are kind of bony. His skin is very moisturized. Like, he's got peaches and cream skin. He's just a squiggle. Like, his hair blends in with his skin. He's that kind of look. There's also something about his teeth that lead me to believe he only brushes, like, on major holidays, on major Mormon holidays, he brushes his teeth, and he only drinks orange juice. I know that, again, from his teeth. Like, there is layers, just layers and layers of pulp on his teeth. And also because every time we've seen him, he not only has a glass of orange juice, he has the full just orange container with him. All he drinks is orange juice. So you know his pee is coming out just as orange as Caitlin from Teen Moms. Disgusting. It's like thick and viscous. I'm sorry, but it's just true. I had to say that. And also the fact that he is very comfortable farting in front of the camera, as if it made it any better that he excused himself to go and fart. And I don't think his lack of social skills is like a he's on the spectrum thing. I don't get that vibe from him, which in that case, I would like totally excuse it. Like, that's its own thing. I just think he's weird. He's just a weird guy, and he leans into the weirdness, and he thinks just because he's leaning into it, it makes getting out of his car and shaking his balls loose from the inside of his leg okay. And that hair, like, when you see pictures of him with the shorter hair, one can see why Alina might find him attractive. I don't, like I said, because he's a classic squiggle, but I can see where a youth would be like, oh, he's a good looking guy. But the long hair, it looks like he's just right on the verge of becoming a blacksmith at the Renaissance Fair or wanting to become an apprentice for one of the jousters or something. I hate it. I just hate everything about it. But here we are. He's getting his last paycheck from whatever Scientology slash Mormon. And I'm not trying to like diss Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints at all. I feel like these guys like Stephen do a disservice to you. They make you look like what's going on over there, because this bug killing business, is this really a bug killing business? Like, I believe Brandon from Brandon and Julia because I saw him with a sprayer in a uniform. Stephen is in an office with a bunch of I swear to God, it was like the complete library of Scientology on the shelves behind him. Did you see that? They looked strikingly similar, if not exactly the same, as the books that Leah Remini showed us that she had in her garage of all the ones that she's purchased that cost her like over $400,000. Maybe it's the printing press for the Scientologists. I don't know. I'm going to have to delete this after I put this out because they're probably going to come and find me. But anyhow, we meet Alina this week. I don't know why she got the music from Beauty and the Beast as her intro. Did anyone listen to that? And you were like, where do I know this score from? Where it's like, that was Beauty and the Beast, where they're like, and he turned into a hideous beast. And then you go to Belle and she's like, I'm in a town, in a tiny village or whatever. Just listen next time. I'm telling you, it's Beauty and the Beast. Here we have her painting her chest for a very questionable photography business. And then we get the cutaway to her current talking head. You know what I'm talking about, where she's wearing like a blue or a purple dress. And to me, there are two Alinas. She looks completely different. I'm wondering if someone took the real Alina and maybe she is wherever Shelly is. Where is Shelly? Where is Alina? Maybe the real Alina is on the Freewinds Scientology ship, which had to be quarantined and something's been going on. Look into that one too. If you want to go deep into like Reddit and Scientology, something's going on in that Freewinds ship. And I think Alina is there. Now, let's just pretend like I never said that just in case I have to edit that whole part out. Hey guys, Alina's mom, thinks Mormonism is a cult and Stephen's going to steal Alina's organs. I think that's possible, but not because he calls himself a Mormon. I think it's just because Stephen looks like he would steal someone's organs and sell them on the black market, or at least bleed her dry for her platelets because he looks a little pale. Like maybe he needs a Billy blanket and it'll solve all his problems. Now, Alina is getting prepared to move to Turkey because, as we know, Stephen can't get her here. He can't go to Russia. So they're going to both move to Turkey, get married, and live there until they can figure it all out. So Alina's getting packed and she calls her friends over. One of them in the yellow sweatshirt, young Jody. That is me, but she has a way better nose than I have. And then the other friend, hear me out, a young Russian Heather Gay from Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, right? Like looking into a mirror there. Now, all three of them are talking and we learn that Alina, just like Stephen, is a virgin and they're saving themselves for each other. Now that I think of it, maybe Alina herself went to Scientology willingly just so she wouldn't have to sleep with him. Found some lookalike and sent her in there to take one for the team. And who would blame her? Because we learn some of the most shocking information. Ugh. So yeah, he has actually asked Alina, you know, since you're over there, you get it if I want to see other women, right? Date other girls. Well, upon hearing this, friend Jody and friend young Heather Gay are like, Stephen, the ugly blonde kid that you're talking to, the squiggle, he thinks that he should be able to date some other women. But Alina's like, well, that was just in the past. He said he's sorry. We're going to get married. Everything's going to be great. So then actually young Jody, I believe, was the one who was like, you know, there's something that you can do about this to test unfaithfulness. And at first I'm thinking, oh, yes, lie detector test, any DNA test now. I was actually thinking it was going to go along the Paul and Karini route. But no, friend Jody or friend whatever Nastia says that they should get an actress like Maury Povich style. Maybe they have some syndicated Maury episodes that are just now airing over there. They want to set up this sting where they're going to get an actress to seduce Stephen, pay her a lot of money to seduce Stephen into flirting with him or flirting with her to see how faithful he is. I mean, I would love to see this hatch this plan. I'd love to see it go down because, of course, he's going to flirt. He's probably going to get a gross boner and he wouldn't even hide it. He'd be like, excuse me, I have a boner. I'm going to go over there because, you know, he's got to announce even when he farts. So that's their big plan. And she's like, I don't know. Let me think about it while I get dizzy staring at my wallpaper. Then we go over to Stephen and he calls her and he's got his OJ next to him because, of course, he does. And he's like, oh, your hair looks shh. And the way he talks, he's one of those smile talkers. His top teeth are always on his bottom lip and he never stops and closes his mouth all the way. It's just always there. And he says, so Alina, cupcake, Malashka, I actually booked two apartments. Okay, I can't do it that long. I can't smile that much. He actually booked two apartments. He's got a nicer apartment for her. I want to know what his standard of nice is. And then he's got a hostel for himself, which means he's renting an upper bunk bed in a room full of probably 50 guys, which he probably is going to enjoy quite a lot. He doesn't want to live together before they get married, at least for, you know, a month, two, three, until whenever we can get married. He is springing this on Alina the night before they're supposed to meet up in Turkey. And thank God she was like, that's not going to work for me. But he keeps trying to manipulate because I'm seeing that part of him that, of course, Alina's actually seen before when he asked to cheat on her. And she's like, I'm not going to move to Turkey, move out of my country if you're not even willing to live with me. First of all, yeah, you wanted to date other girls. Now you don't want to live with me. And it's only because, according to Stephen, I'm afraid we're going to have sex because you're very, very sexy. First of all, I hate him for assuming that she's just going to want to get it in with him that first night after she sees him in person. But also that you're like so out of control or that you're making it out to be like, my hands are tied. I can't do anything because I know I'm going to have sex with you. No, grow up. Isn't he like 20 something? So then Steven says, sex is something I'm very tempted by, something that I have struggled with. And we get the fourth wall broken, which I always love. And the producer asks him, can you elaborate on that? One thing I still need to tell Alina is that I'm not a virgin. I have had sexual relationships, plural, in the past. Those are things that are not endorsed by the church, and those are things that I did. You asshole. This is what, number three of the big lies that we know of? One, that he wanted to openly cheat on her with her permission. Number two, I'm springing it on you that we are not even going to live under the same roof as we move to a new country. And number three, oh, that thing about you being a virgin and I'm a virgin, we're saving ourselves for each other. Yeah, that was a lie too. I have had sexual relationships in the past. I hate him. And I also hate him because he did that pinky promise thing where he's like, I promise I'll stay the first night with you. Pinky promise. I hate pinky promises. I hate it so much. It sends tingles up my spine. I can't stand it. This is what all these guys on the show do and on Love After Lockup, where they're like, well, I'm going to get her here and have her move her children and everything. And then I'll tell her some big secret. And then she's going to love me so much that she won't be able to say no. He sucks. Armando and Kenny, I'm almost tempted to not watch their segments only because I don't want to dislike them. They're on a pedestal for me, although Kenny, last season and his refusal to learn the language and being kind of an ignorant asshole about things. I love their love together, and that little Hannah is just a little doll to me. I love it. So I don't want to be disappointed. I have concerns only about Kenny's health and his voice. Did any of you notice this? He's always kind of had that party cranker voice, but it's gotten a little bit deeper. And I'm wondering if there's some sort of allergy in the air or if he needs to go see like an ear, nose, and throat because something sounds up in his throat. Is anyone a doctor who can audibly diagnose him with something? Is that a word? Listen to his voice and let's all cross our fingers that this is all just drama about saving up for their wedding and whether they're going to have a big wedding or little one, because if something goes wrong, I don't want either of them to disappoint me. We only have so much happiness on this series and I want them to be the it couple, you know? All right. The other couple we're keeping our eyes on, or I guess we should really just say woman we're keeping our eyes on, and that's Ellie. She is 45, from Seattle, and Victor is 38 plus X equals his actual age. There's no way that guy's 38. No way in freaking hell. He is like 52 if he's a day. But this guy lives in Providencia, some little island off of Colombia, maybe. I don't know. Doesn't really matter. I'm hoping that Ellie's not there that long because this woman needs a foot or a hand upside her head, or maybe an antidepressant. I don't know, something. Maybe her turtlenecks are choking her. She is so delusional. It seems like she's got a pretty good life there. She's got a pizza restaurant. She's got a great group of friends. She doesn't seem that lonely. Yes, she's looking for love, but there's got to be someone other than 53-year-old Victor, right? She's up and moving, giving up her business, her home, her friendships to go to this guy who openly cheated on her, who had zero intention of telling her that he was living with another woman. And wasn't there maybe a baby involved? She's giving all this up for him. And in her words at this Friendsgiving, which looked lovely, love Hiromi, by the way. I know Hiromi's not listening because she's way better of a person than I am. I absolutely would want Hiromi to be my friend. She's probably a little too artistic for me. Like, I wouldn't be able to appreciate the arts like she could, but I like her. She's our kind of people. What was I saying here? Oh, right. So she's telling her friends that if she gets to Providencia, finds out that Victor cheated again or is still cheating, she'll just leave. Which begs the question, why is she even moving there then? Why doesn't she just go for a visit? Why can't she pay the guy who's buying her business, be like, it's 5% equity for the 3 months I'm gone? Or I don't know. It just doesn't seem to make much sense that if she's willing to pick up and go, if she's there and it doesn't work out, then why move there permanently? You know what I mean? Why not just go for the duration of the home renovation that she's funding, by the way? My God. Now, she tried to also play off the fact that she didn't get a background check. I think it was Hiromi who was like, did you ever think about getting one of those, a background check? And she's trying to answer truthfully, no, I've never thought of it. But she's trying to think of that answer as she's saying her fake answer, which is, I never really thought that I needed to because, no, just say, I never thought that I should have. You're right. Let me run one of those for $25 online. But, you know, she already knows about that little teeny tiny domestic violence situation. I mean, she already spoke to his ex about it. The ex is like, yeah, he's a great guy. He's awesome. I mean, I should stay with him. You know, how does she even know that she's talking to the ex? Is she actually down there seeing photos of them living, cohabitating together before this? Or is she just talking to some woman that they put on the phone? Who was that other one that did that? Oh, with what's his face? Oh, you guys know who I'm talking about. With the crazy wackadoo pigtails from last season from Michigan. Oh, Stephanie. Stephanie and Ryan. And then the other guy who had the husband and the kids that was pulling over on her. Absolutely. That's what I'm thinking has happened. She didn't talk to his ex. But later she does call Victor. And she says, this is like such a classic girl thing when you're feeling insecure. You make up a dream. I'm doing finger quotes. A dream that you had that he cheated on her again. And this woman that he was with had a baby. And I just woke up really upset. Victor, tell me it's not true. And he's like, no, baby, I would never do that. That woman that you're dreaming of that actually exists doesn't even live on the island. It's like instead of his nose growing like Pinocchio, his beard just starts growing longer the more he lies. It doesn't really even matter because Ellie, who is the most Ellie-looking Ellie I've ever seen in my life, if someone said, hey, what's that woman's name? I would be like, oh, it's Ellie. Hello. Look at it. She's got like curly hair. She just looks like an Ellie. She said she's always willing to give someone a second chance. I don't think that's a good thing. I will give people a second chance, but I don't always do that. I don't think that's wise to even frequently give someone a second chance. What's that quote? When someone shows you who they are, believe them. Someone needs to tell that. She needs to, I don't know, paint that on the wall in her Pizza Hut or something because she is so naive in this. So they have this conversation where she's pretty much just looking for reassurance about this dream she had. And he just keeps saying with a huge smile on his face how sorry he is for cheating. I'm sorry. And I stopped it immediately. I stopped it immediately when you found out. And we'll talk about it more when you get here. Big old smile on his face. And again, still with that smile, he's talking about this one or two storms that are going to come through and it's going to be a category 2 or 3 hurricane. And I'm just going to finish up some work here on the house, renovating, and then I'm just going to go and find somewhere to save my life because this hurricane's going to do some damage. And yeah, tropical storms go through their island and hurricanes. It shouldn't matter if it's a 2 or a 3. If you've lived there all your life and you know the damage they can do, why would you be smiling through it unless you're a sociopath and a liar, which is exactly what Victor is. There's just some people, like their face is dishonest looking. You can just tell that they're smarmy. Think about basically every person on Love After Lockup or 90 Day Fiancé. They just have that face that you know you cannot believe them. I don't understand how some people just don't see that. Does it make them a better person? Like I'm trying to think, is Ellie a better person than all of us because she gives people second chances or she sees through their smile? Don't you think like if someone Okay, I'm going to get myself into deep water. I was just going to say, like, if someone cheats more than once, could it be legal in some circumstances to, like, brand them? Like, put something on them visual that everyone will then know, but, you know, human rights, blah, blah, blah. No, I really think there should be, like, a dating record, like a database where you can just pull up, like, just where you can pull up your my chart, your vaccinations. You should also be able to pull up a dating history. But I guess there's websites like The Dirty and all that for that, which is, oof, that's a whole other story, a whole other podcast we could talk about. But let's jump right into life after lockup here. There's really some hits and misses here. Like, we don't need to know where Puppy and Amber are. Amber has been on this show for how many years? I mean, think back how long ago it was when we first saw Vince's big old dry eyes. But now we have Amber on here with her fragile George Washington looking teeth. It always concerns me. I'm rooting for Amber. I think she's on the right track. I just feel like her teeth look just so dry and square, like they're just going to crumble. Does that make me a bad person? Now, Brittany and Marcelino, I hope they get their money back. I think this is all for the show. They just needed another season. And Brittany is likable enough, and we're all rooting for her, that it's an easy person to put on, you know? And I don't hate it, but I don't really love seeing it either. You with me here? Same with Brittany and Ray. I think they let him out of prison because Ray is boring even to the prison guards. They're like, okay, he's not pod boss. Let's get him the hell out of here. And Brittany boo-hooing about, shoot, do I take on his restitution? All right, I am going to get my little bottle of feels right here so you can hear me doing this on air and hear for yourself just how easy it is to feel better with feels. You know, CBD isn't about what you feel. It's about what you don't feel, whether it's stress, anxiety, pain, even sleeplessness. And for me, it's not only the fact that it just takes a little dropper full of oil to feel better. It's the convenience and the cost. And if you remember a few weeks ago when I was recording from the hospital because my kid again was sick, well, I was wound so tight and I couldn't relax enough to doze off on that uncomfortable hospital couch. So thank God I had my little bottle of feels tucked right into my purse. With feels, you don't have to worry about having a pill pouch or a bottle rattling around. It's just a nice, sleek little bottle. I'm holding it right here. You can tuck it away at your desk or in your purse, even your gym bag to help with soreness after a workout. And who can resist the huge discount you get when you become a member? Automatically, you get 40% taken off your first 3 months with membership. And let me tell you a little bit more, because feels isn't your normal CBD. It's premium CBD, which means whether you just need to clear your head or relax or even focus more, you're going to get the best results. I even take feels when I start to feel a headache coming on. That it's actually why I started carrying it in my purse. I get weather-induced migraines, and feels has saved me quite a few times before I was in the throes of a full one. But the thing to remember about CBD is that you gotta find the right dose for you. That's super important, and everyone's dosage is totally different. And that's why Feels offers a free CBD hotline to help guide your personal experience so that you find the perfect dose. Make self-care easy and affordable with your Feels monthly membership that you can pause or cancel anytime. So start feeling better with Feels. Become a member today by going to Feels.com/reality TV, and you'll get 40% off your first 3 months with free shipping. There's an easy link in the show notes. One more time, that's Feals.com/reality TV to become a member and get 40% automatically taken off your first 3 months with that free shipping. Feals.com/reality TV. Judge Judy says a partner or even an ex should never have to take that on because it's your personal punishment, but Brittany knew this. She sought out a prisoner. So don't go bitching and complaining and wondering about it now. And the only reason that Brittany is not introducing Ray to her family is that Brittany's been lying about some shit to Ray. Like, she does not want her worlds colliding because they're going to compare and trade stories, and Brittany's going to come out looking like a wackadoo that she is. Now, John and Christiana, I can take many a moment to talk about this because, my God, this guy is so gross. It baffles me that he has procreated with many women to have many children. He holds his fork weird. Did you see when he was eating? He does like the shovel fork, and he has a hairbrush next to his plate. Like, I want to gag right now. That is so disgusting. And then Christiana. I'm wanting to root for her because she is paired across from John and she has seen things that none of us can even imagine below that long, long hair of his. Ooh, and under those moles. Mm-hmm. And remember that freezer where he was like storing bald eagles? I'm not making that up. Go back to the first episode where we met him. He's got endangered species in his freezer. But her eyebrows, like, I want to root for you, Christiana, but how did you see that pencil in a mirror and you put it on your face and you walked out in front of camera? She has always reminded me of someone, and I haven't been able to put my finger on it until I saw the eyebrows akimbo on her face. And you know who it is? Get ready for this one because you're about to gasp and you're going to see it too. Mackelty Brown from Sister Wives. They are each other's twin. You know how they say you have a twin, a lookalike somewhere on this earth? Christiana, Mackelty Brown. Overlay the two of them, and the only thing that's going to change are their own eyebrows on any given day, because both of them like to just switch it up. It's their item of flair, if you will. Now, I also want to take a moment before we even move on from that table where they're eating sad, sad looking eggs. Why are there three, and exactly three, cereal dispensers on the living room wall? It's like they stole them from a Holiday Inn breakfast area on the living room, not in the kitchen. Actually, I saw Brittany in Marcelino's kitchen. They had some of those cereal things. I can see they got a bunch of little kids, whatever. But why on the living room wall? There's no reasoning or rationalizing why it's on the wall, but it is. Now, John then tries to go out and work on a car and convince us that, like, he's a man. He knows car things. Bullshit. I guarantee that guy does not know a thing about cars. But his daughter comes over and John, like I hate to overuse this word, but it's really true. The sociopath he is, the narcissist he is. He's making it out like he's a victim of his own stress because, like, oh, he flirted with Tara and then now Christiana's all mad at me and she doesn't trust me. Ugh. Carrie, to share any more pearls of wisdom over there, why don't you? You asshole. First of all, that's your daughter. Take down the tone. And also, if you're stressed, you did it to yourself. And what's there to be stressed about? Either apologize to Christiana instead of lying, saying nothing happened, or move on from it. If you don't like Christiana's attitude and her lack of trust, then let her go. Let her be free, unlike the birds that he's got in his freezer. So now, in an attempt to smooth things over so that Christiana can trust him, John has decided to surprise her with a random photo shoot at a random roadside shanty. There are costumes and hats set out, which were a very interesting choice. Once again, Christiana is seeing what we're seeing, like, okay. First of all, that hat was not like a Bonnie hat. That looked like I am from Notting Hill, London. I don't know what the fuck that was, but it was not Bonnie and Clyde. He wants them to dress up and have their photos taken, probably so he can get them airbrushed onto t-shirts on the other side of his truck. She is not liking any of this at all. John gets down on his knee, reproposes sort of, and her face does not move from a scowl the entire time. And I don't think her eyebrows are helping her too much because they just always look like they're questioning, like, huh? You know, like Mackelty Brown always does. She hates him, clearly hates him, can't stand him, doesn't want to touch him. I get maybe that she needs him, but why get remarried? And why, actually, did he spend money on not only this wedding, this photo shoot, the stupid hats? Maybe because he loves getting undressed on camera. He loves taking his pants off. But why did he spend money on that horrible tattoo on his leg? If you notice that, I did zoom in. I'll post a screenshot somewhere. I zoomed in and the tattoo is the logo of the show, Love After Lockup. And then underneath it in this like italicized Times New Roman font, it says John and Christiana. I hope that the rat he should pay to gnaw those moles off his face can gnaw that tattoo right off, because I don't think that's going to age well as their relationship ages and dies. Hopefully, fingers crossed. All right. Sean and Sarah are a new couple, but we know Sean from the good old days. Well, he's been talking to Sarah long before he even was talking to Destiny. What a guy. What a guy. The mugshot that he's seen of Sarah is from 6 years ago, and he's never seen her in person. So he's just crossing his fingers that she's still thin and pretty and under 100 pounds, because that's how he likes them. His words, not mine. Gross. Sarah has told Sean that she wants to have sex right away. So they've been tossing around a few options. Of course, the motel, ew, dirty, floors and everything are lava, a cornfield, ouch, or just the car. I don't think anyone over the age of like 25 can do anything in a car without getting hurt. I have bruises all over my arms from vacuuming my car out. And, you know, with my sore forearm from coloring, I'm just a mess over here. But last time when Destiny got out, he made tacos. But now Sean is mixing things up with vodka and a strawberry banana protein smoothie, because Sarah said she's going to need something strong in order to have sex with him. That's not a bad idea. I mean, if the vodka doesn't do the trick, I'm sure the curdled dairy and banana mixed with that vodka will allow her to just start puking, and that'll keep him away. Now, there is a small interstitial where Sean goes more into depth about his desire of small women, that Sarah told him that she's only 4'11", she's 100 pounds, and like, yeah, he's pretty sure he's going to get laid. That's what he's looking forward to the most. And that's what he just keeps talking about, how small, thin, short women are his type. Like, maybe as a father of like 16 daughters, you shouldn't be talking like that, you disgusting piece of shit. But here he is again on this show getting paid. Ew. And you know he's not paying his child support, because of course he isn't. Now these two finally meet. It's always on a roadside. That never gets old for me. I do enjoy a roadside reunion. Or a roadside meeting, I should say, because he's never seen her in person, remember. She runs up, and immediately I was like, oh, wow. Like, she's actually way prettier than I thought she was going to be. She looks younger. Like, she looks like she's in her 20s. She is far too good looking and seemingly normal at first, seemingly genuine. But then she got in the car and we started seeing some of the talking heads and also her gulping down the cottage cheese at this point, basically. And Sarah starts telling us what she was in for. Now, she was sentenced to 6 years for involuntary manslaughter because she sold drugs to someone who then overdosed on the drugs and died. And then we kind of get left there with scenes for next week and scenes for the season where it looks like she's running off. It almost looks like she's going to run off and meet someone, because then she quickly says Sean isn't the person who he said he was. And it looks like she's not even changed out of her prison whites. All right. What else? Oh, I already talked a little bit about Beverly Hills and New York. Just keep tuning into those. I can't wait to see Beverly Hills reunion, which I believe did tape last weekend. So stay tuned. Now, I know I'm only here every month or so, but I always say this. If you are not listening to Everyone's Business But Mine with Kara Berry, go follow, listen to her immediately, because she is covering all the shows that I used to cover every single week, and she's so, so funny. I just love listening to her. So go and check out her stuff. Make sure you're subscribed and listening to some of my other besties podcasts, best supporting podcasts with Nick and Colin and The Good Vanilla. And of course, We Love to Hate Everything, my other podcast that I already talked about earlier. But I really want you guys to make sure you're subscribing and listening, because we have lots of awesome stuff coming up. I am linking my Patreons in the show notes. And you guys, it's pretty damn good. And you get a huge value. You know, there's levels from $4 a month, and you're getting 4 episodes every single month. Go and check it out. Total Request Podcast. We Love to Hate TV. Links are in the show notes. And until next time, you guys, please, please, please wear a mask, get vaccinated, take care of yourself, and stay salty.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.